Welcome to the This Is Happening podcast. And yes, after about 6 months we've been doing this, maybe more, we finally have a theme song. I am lying, that is not our theme song. I would like to have an official theme song. Now that I think about it, it makes it sound more professional. So if any of my musician friends out there have anything to submit, even if it's something, you know, like this, you playing with a guitar or drumming or something, keyboards, guitar would be cool too. You know, just say the words, This Is Happening podcast, make it like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds long, and, you know, we'll play it every time, and, you know, we'll plug your band, plug your music, plug you. That's what we do here. You know, podcasts are for pretty much doing talk conversations and cheap plugs. So today's episode is a bit of a mishmash. The first 15, 20 minutes, I don't know, gotta check the timer, even less. Is myself and America's sweetheart Thomas Ryan. That's right, the Thomas Ryan. Kicking it back. Just chatting it up a bit at the Chiller Theater, Parsippany, New Jersey, which we will be back in October. And then afterwards, we're going to cut right into the interview I have with Mr. Eric Freitas, which rhymes with greatest. He's a comic book writer. He's done work with Dark Horse, Amazing Forest, Gamma, and now is currently working on Judge Dredd. Big wrestling fan, big film buff, so we have a lot of things in common, so we're gonna, you know, shoot the breeze for about a half hour, and, you know, we hope you enjoy the conversation. Thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, please share with your friends, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, I don't know the Twitter handle, Facebook should be This Is Happening podcast, so yeah. Let's get this podcast started. Maybe I should be a singer. Maybe I should just quit podcasting and be a singer full time. Let me know. Let me think about my melodic voice. All right. Who the hell names their son Kim?
You know, I don't know, man. If you know he's gonna grow up to be like some badass biker, you figure it's like a Johnny Cash thing. You know, the boy named Sue. You know, you name him Sue. He grows up. He's a tough bastard. He's gonna fight everybody that challenges his name. And, you know, maybe he becomes a tough guy. That's that was the plan. I don't know.
Maybe. All right. So, please welcome to the episode of the This Is Happening podcast. I am your host Diego Santos, aka I don't have any nicknames. And with me, special guest Thomas Ryan. That's right, America's sweetheart Thomas Ryan. The following episode is dedicated to our friends at the Fist Fight Group. They must be confused. Like, when they see us arguing all the time, they're like, what the fuck?
Yes. And I do have nicknames for you.
You know what we are? You know what we are? You remember the Looney Tunes cartoon? Like, I think it was like the sheepdog and the coyote.
They check in.
Yeah, and then they go to war.
Kick the shit out of each other.
And then when they check out, it's like, see you tomorrow, Sam.
See you tomorrow.
So that's literally us. And like I said, people are probably baffled by our how we act online. Like I said, we said this before, the last time you were here.
Mm-hmm.
We just have fun. I mean, not always fun, but we have fun. It's not real. You know, we just, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, politics is what we do in between living, partying, having fun, working, taking care of business, living life, you know, taking care of your friends, taking care of your problems, worrying about your bills. After all that shit's taken care of, then we discuss politics.
Yeah. So, quickly, you've been working on something called RAPT, WAPT. What's going on with that?
WAPT, that's WAPT. But we've been working on RAPT, which is RAPT.
What did I say?
It's okay. We've been working on RAPT, which is a short film. It was written by Russell Hackett and Jerry Janda Jr. They asked me to come on board and direct the film. It's a great little cast in there. We got a great ton of extras in there. A great location in the film. It's a great script and a great story. We just wrapped it up. It's right now gone, and I hope for it to be out by June of 2016. So, yeah, I just directed that, so that's been awesome.
All right, cool. Get ready to put that bad boy on the indie film circuit and see what happens from there.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Kim topic real quick, because everybody's going to say, what the fuck are you talking about?
Who the fuck's Kim?
So we just ran into Kim and
Kim Cults.
Kim Cults, right, from
Sons of Anarchy. Yeah.
So we were taking the elevator upstairs and chilling. I saw him by the elevator, and I turned around, and I did not call him Kim. I called him Tig. And they're for obvious reasons, right? Hey, Tick. Hey, Kim. What's up, man? I'm Susie. You know, I didn't say anything. So I basically, hey, Tig, what's up? So he just kind of gave me this little weird kind of an expression. And he's cool, man. I said, you having a good time? He said, yeah, I wouldn't do so many of these if I wasn't having a good time. So anyway, Tig seemed like a pretty laid-back dude. Yeah. Kim.
Yeah.
Kim said, yeah.
Well, like I said, it's kind of hard to say that. Because, like, for years, I always thought Kim Coates is the doctor. Because I saw the credits.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Kim Coates, this must be Tara.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, well, I knew. The problem with me is that when I write to celebrities, I always forget their names. Whether it's their first name or their last name. I don't know why it is. I'm great with faces. I'll always know that I know you or that I've seen you or that we've met, but please forgive me if I don't remember your name. And that's always been a deal. And when I saw him, the first thing I thought was Tig.
Yeah.
I mean, and the first thing, if I was him, I'd go by the name Tig.
Yeah, man, I would do that too. Like, I would, like, wouldn't even,
whatever. I wouldn't take it.
I mean, me personally, my thing with celebrities is that I've only been starstruck, 3 times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Once was, I'm not going to tell a story. I'll tell one story. One was, Robert De Niro. And I'm like, holy shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell that story when I'm done. The other one was, Al Pacino. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on here?
That's another pretty big one.
And the third one was Dolomite, which was that chiller. Dolomite, motherfucker.
I was only starstruck once in my life. And it was when I met Adrian Barbeau.
Oh, yeah.
And for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Because I loved Adrienne Barbeau, and I met her, and I did not know what the fuck to say to her. I didn't know what to ask her. I didn't know what to tell her. It was a very awkward moment where I basically said, you know, Adrienne, I love all your work. She's like, thank you. And then I said, what can I buy? And she pointed at pictures, and I said, I'll take Pater, and she signed it, and I walked away. And it was very anticlimactic compared to what I thought my first meeting with Adrienne Barbeau would be, which was like, Adrienne, you're beautiful, and she's like, you're beautiful too, and you know, I love you too.
We get married.
We get married at the end of that meeting. Yeah, so that was not what happened. So yeah, that was kind of my only really starstruck moment. Most of the time, I was I don't know what to say to them. I love their shows, but I don't see what meeting them and telling them that is going to change their lives.
I mean, I'm sure, like, we're actually currently at Chilla Theater. Like, I think, like, next time, I'm probably going to do, you know, get the room and hang out at the bar. Because,
all the celebrities wind up at the bar.
Because I don't, like.
And if they don't, they're not worth meeting.
Yeah, like, I don't want to, I have no interest in, like, paying, like, me being my, you know, those who know me, I'm kind of Hebrew.
Yeah.
Like, frugalness. I don't see myself like, oh, let me, here's $20, write your name on a piece of paper. Right, like, that means nothing to me.
And that's the thing with me, too, is I'm not a collector.
Yeah.
I don't collect photographs. I don't collect pictures. Do I love to have a photograph with you? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't collect autographs and photos. Would I love to have your autograph? I guess it would be cool if you're like, hey, Tom, you know, love, you know, Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But at the same time, I won't stand in line for shit like that.
Yeah.
If I run into somebody in a restaurant, in a bar, at a party, I've run into a lot of musicians. I've gotten some autographs, but most of the time it's just me telling them, "Hey, man, I love your music." It's not, you know, the whole having a something that you could remember them by. To me, is not. I just don't collect those things. And to me, waiting in line for that kind of stuff is,
like,
just kind of weird.
Yeah, we were just at the bar right now, and there was a girl who, like, her dad's friend or somebody was online to see me. There's no way.
I'm not going to invest that kind of time to meet
anybody.
Really.
And like I said, I mean, me personally, like, I'll take a picture with someone, but I'm not from anyone. Like, a photo you do with your friends. Like, oh, let's get friends, photos with friends. That's my thing. But like you or, you know, or any of our friends, I'm not like, hey, good times. Give me your autograph, Tom. Right. Like, I'm not going to do that. But I'll like, Tom, let's take a photo. Yeah.
Right. You know? And let me just, to get the record straight, I have taken photos with celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, B-list celebrities. I'm not saying I've taken pictures with Robert Redford and you know, what's her name?
Marissa Tomei.
Whoever. Throw out a celebrity. I haven't taken pictures with them. I've taken...
Let me quickly get into my Robert De Niro story.
Yeah.
This is 2001. My best friend takes me and another friend who's a miserable piece of whatever to whatever. You see how he brings Robert De Niro with him? That's when I'm like, holy fuck.
Right.
Now I gotta behave. And at one point in time, there's just a female performing. She was like covering Madonna songs. And apparently she was performing. I'm sitting down on stage and she's performing right behind me and I'm just oblivious to it. So she like pulls me on stage and she makes me part of the act. Whatever. Like, holy shit, hashtag awkward. Yeah. Like, I'm on stage and I'm trying to behave in front of Robert De Niro. And later Joe Pesci starts hitting on her. And she
he's gonna hit on you.
And she kinda used me as the out. She's like, oh, sorry, I'm with someone. And she like grabbed me and I'm just like, you know, sober Diego's ready to fucking fight. Beer muscles.
Right? So you're like, I want to hug.
Yeah, like, nah, like if I'm drunk, I'm like, nah, guys, just talk it out, man. Let's talk it out. Because I know myself. I know, like, you know, I don't have to, like, my skills are not what they are drunk.
Right.
So that was my memory of that night. It was like, Joe Pesci wanted to fight, and I'm like, hit that motherfucker. if he gets out of line, it's happened. I mean, Pesci was like about 5'2", 5'3", and if I was to engage De Niro, I'll say about between 8'5", 8'10".
Oh, I would have taken De Niro, but he was in Raging Bull too, so you got to watch out.
Yeah, so I wasn't gonna fight De Niro. Like, I would have taken that beating.
Would you fight De Niro from Cape Fear with the tats all over and the fucking?
I mean, I'll fight any character, but like the actor.
Come on, you would fight De Niro from Cape Fear?
Yeah,
any character. So you're gonna fight Schwarzenegger from Commando? You're gonna fight him?
No.
You're gonna fight Schwarzenegger from any movie, basically. I mean, yeah, come on.
I got my ass murdered.
You gotta see, you know, let's put it in, you know, perspective here.
Perspective
here. De Niro. I wanna fight you from, the Fokker. that's more like,
God, De Niro, Pacino, man. Those guys, you know, the movies they're making today makes no sense. Now I understand why, like, Gene Hackman quit. Like,
well, I think it has to do with a lack of writers in Hollywood, or at least writers that are writing things that are. I'm sure there's no lack of writers in Hollywood, but there's probably a lack of writers that are writing anything substantial meat to it.
You'd be picky, like literally Al Pacino was in Jack and Jill.
It's because, you know, bigger at this point they're becoming like, hey man. I need to make some money. Look at all the elder actors in Hollywood. They're all playing roles as elderly people. They're all baking for stuff. Harrison Ford probably creaming in his jeans if they brought Han Solo back.
No.
And if they're going to bring Indiana Jones back, he gets to come back and reprise these roles. Because what else is he going to get that now? He's not going to get any present, any roles, no more action roles. He's going to get grandpa roles.
But I'm pretty sure, like, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie that everybody's seen, was it Star Wars?
Yeah.
Force Awakens. He's been wanting Han Solo dead since whatever. Han Solo was like his thing. Like, I'll come back.
Yes, but I also think that I don't want to. You know, I'm not trying to put him in a bad life, but I'm sure the paycheck had a lot to do with it. We said, hey, I'll come back and do Han Solo. Shit.
Yeah, but if you kill Han Solo off,
well, yeah, well, you save the paycheck.
Yeah, so I think in this quick episode we're gonna wrap things up quickly. Tom, do you have any parting words?
I do. Look out for Vlad the Inhaler's second album. It's called The Aftermath. Record it. That thing. Record it. We have Tony Lambides, who is far for us. And we have Freddie Morales possibly sitting in on keyboards for us, which I believe is going to happen. And Freddie's coming in a couple of sessions.
My mortal enemy.
So
Alfredo.
Alfredo Morales. So, yeah, that's coming up. And besides that, you know, get to chiller, get to conventions, get to film festivals, get out of the fucking house, man, and stop listening to goddamn podcasts.
What? Podcast is what you listen to on the way to work.
That's right.
Or when you're at the gym. That's a podcast. But, you know, we always try to encourage people to do things. So that's, like, pretty much what we do in this podcast. Talk about, like, our adventures.
Right.
And you can't have adventures if you don't leave the house.
That's right.
So, with that said, wrap this bad boy up, and I'm probably going to find another guest, and I'll Frankenstein this bitch up.
Hopefully so, not. I'll be the main attraction.
Yeah. So anyway, just in case I'm too lazy to edit, bitches leave.
Peace out.
All right, and on the line we have Mr. Eric Frita. Eric, please introduce yourself. Introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Frita, writer on Judge Dredd, Amazing Forest. You can follow me on Instagram, ERRFritas, FreitasAnd on Twitter at ERR_Freitas, Freitas
All right, cool. I saw you at a panel a few days ago at East Coast Comic Con.
Right.
And there was something you said that kind of like made me feel like an old man.
Why is that?
You said that you like one of your getting where you started getting into writing was through some sort of online like RPG thing.
Yeah, it was a role playing. It was actually a pro wrestling role playing fed online. It was called Almost Illegal Wrestling. That's what I used to do. Oh. I used to rush home to do that.
Oh wow, I did that for a little bit too, actually.
Oh wow, look at here.
That's crazy.
What was the name of your company?
I don't know anything. It was a long time ago. I was poor. I used web TV to do it, so like typing it as a bitch.
Oh jeez, yeah, web TV typing was crazy back then.
Yeah, so but when you said that, I'm like, oh man, I remember doing that in my mid 20s. And then you're like, oh, and then afterwards, I started high school. I'm like, oh god, you just made me feel so old.
Well, to be honest, I started in middle school, and then in high school, that's when I really got into it. It was like I was making a decision. It was like, am I going to be an athlete and go to wrestling practice, or am I going to go home and write a bunch of bullshit for people? And I went home and wrote the bullshit, so here I am.
Oh, nice. Oh. And here we are. Are you still a big fan of the pro wrestling?
I love it. I love it, and I'm not ashamed of it. Like other wrestling fans, I love pro wrestling. So I think it's one of the best artistic mediums in the world.
Yeah, wrestling fans are kind of weird, because I meet them all the time, but it's always like very hesitant, almost Fight Club-ish.
It is, and I feel like it's gotten better, but like, you know, I know there's definitely a point in my life where I wasn't, like, really cool with everyone knowing I was a wrestling fan, because it just had such a horrible, like, connotations to it, you know? And, like, oh, you must be inbred, you know? You must be stupid, because you like pro wrestling, which you know is fake. Yeah, I also knew Power Rangers was fake, but I loved watching it when I was a kid, and I still will watch Power Rangers, so I don't understand how pro wrestling, it's like live-action theater. It's, like, no difference to me, but I guess people have their opinions.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Cause the example I used to always use was Terminator. I'm like, oh, so Terminator's a documentary, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I used to be like, you know, like Tony Soprano, and the Sopranos is actually not a gangster in New Jersey. You know, he's a thespian.
Yeah.
You know, he's nothing like that, but whatever.
Oh, man. So, all right, let's talk to wrestling. Let's talk a little wrestling for a little bit. What's your favorite? Do you watch anything besides WWE, or is that like your main thing?
Fan's main form of entertainment in wrestling is WWE, but I will watch anything. I mean, obviously, if you're a wrestling fan, NXT is the best thing going right now. I still go to indie shows. A buddy of mine helps run an indie show in New Jersey called Game Changer Wrestling. I think Danny DeMonto's in that company, and a few other guys from back in the day in New Jersey.
Oh, I know Danny.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Do you know him, like, personally, or do you know
him? I mean, I haven't seen him since about 2007, but I actually trained a little bit back in the day.
Oh, did you really? Oh, okay. So I know Danny as well, and he's friends with some of my friends, and anytime he's having a show or he's on a show, I may swing by, but, you know, let's see, in the last 10 years, I've been to every type of indie wrestling show there is on the East Coast, from JAP, Ring of Honor, CZW, all that fun stuff.
Oh, nice.
And right now, I mean, NXT, New Japan, and WWE pretty much is what I watch.
Yeah, I actually went to Japan just for Wrestle Kingdom.
Are you kidding me? Because I went to Japan for my honeymoon just so I can sneaky convince my wife to go to a Japanese wrestling show.
Which one did you see?
I saw it was the first round of the tag team tournament in, oh my god, I can't, not Tokyo Dome, but the building next to the Tokyo Dome, the really famous building.
Kurokian.
It was a lot of familiar faces. I mean, unfortunately, like, the bigger names were in six-man tags, like Nakamura.
I went to Kurokian Hall, a little drunk.
There you go. Yeah, it's right next to it. Kurrigan Hall. That's what it's called. Yeah. That's where I went.
Yeah, next time.
So yeah, it's actually kind of cool. There's a park next to it, an ancient park, Kurrigan Park.
Yeah.
And it's the most ancient park in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
So, little tidbit of information there.
There you go. That's what this podcast is all about, learning.
There you go.
So how did you evolve? Pretty much, you know, I'm pretty sure there's like 1,000 steps in between. So let's see how we could do today. How did you go from, you know, the E-Fed to Judge Dredd?
Oh, man, so much. So many things happened. I guess I was always fascinated with storytelling, whether or not I knew that's what I was fascinated about. Like, I thought I wanted to get into film because of... And, like, when I started getting into film, I was like, maybe I want to be a cameraman, or maybe I want to be an editor. or maybe I want to be a grip, or I don't know, or maybe I want to be an artist and work in comic books, you know, like, I don't know, and then I realized the reason why I didn't know was because the underlining theme between everything was the storytelling, and I just enjoyed things. Until finally at 23, I kind of just sat down and said, I'm going to be a writer, and I just, since then, I've been trying to write and read and write and read every day and trying to get better, little by little, and I went to school. I went to middle school with Ulysses Farinas, and we kind of had the same love for like fiction and like crazy stuff. And you know what I liked in wrestling, I think he was a big fan in anime and other things. And we just kind of always, anytime I came up with a movie idea or a comic book idea, I would show it to him. He would show it to me. That relationship maintained in college, and then post college, eventually we started getting work together.
Nice. That's forever, and we'll work together, and then come high school, shit changes.
Absolutely right, and definitely in college, it didn't feel like it was going in that direction, and even a little bit after college, it just kind of, I want to say it kind of happened, because we were always working towards it, but I could definitely say, like, there's definitely points where we're just doing this for fun at this point.
Yeah.
But eventually, it became real.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man. That's because I'm pretty sure anyone listening to this, at one point in time, you know, has picked up a comic book. And, you know, if you collect comic books, you're just going to be like, yeah, I want to be... it always crosses everybody's mind. Just like wrestling, you know. When you're watching a show, you're like, yeah, I want to do that. But then not everyone does it.
No, exactly. And much like you, I actually went to wrestling school. I went to Mikey Whipwreck. You know Mikey Whipwreck from ECW?
Yeah, we used to hang out back in the day, actually.
Wow. All right, there you go. I went to Mikey Whipwreck's wrestling school with Jay Lethal, who I also went, me and Ulysses went to high school with, who is now the Ring of Honor champion. And we all went to school together, and Jamar, I know him as Jamar, he was always like the standout kid in the class. He like knew how to wrestle before any of us. He didn't need training, but whatever, now he's Ring of Honor champion, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think I might get in trouble for this, but I think I came up with his, not to come up with his finisher, but I think I introduced him to
what, the backflip into the diamond cutter thing?
Yeah, because I saw that at on the internet on indie from South Carolina did it, and I was trying to do it, but I failed epically. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't really follow Ring of Honor until they started working with New Japan more, and then when I saw the lethal injection, I'm like, wait a minute. Because I always heard the name, but I'm like, wait a minute, that's the thing that I kept trying to fail at Mike Morgan's school.
Oh, Mike Morgan, yeah, I've been there too. I totally believe you on that.
Yeah, the only reason why he worked with me was Mike Morgan, his school, like, I used to always just come visit just to bullshit. And every time I'll go there, I swear, they'll be moving the ring from the second floor to the third floor to the second floor. Like, every time I went, they kept moving the ring.
Oh man, and those stairs! I remember because there were those stairs that go to the second floor, and they were like really tight.
Yeah,
I remember being at that school once or twice. I remember in college, me and my buddies had this great idea to run a wrestling company, and we ran one of our shows out of the school. You actually may know it was Gung Ho Wrestling.
Yeah,
we ran three shows and stuff. But I mean, the shows didn't suck; they were great. But like, no one showed up.
Not,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, we had some fun matches. We had Monster Mac versus Necro Butcher one time, and that was a pretty fun match.
Yeah, I actually remember. I don't know if I was there or not, but I do remember that.
I'm pretty familiar. I'm sorry?
No, so I do remember that being billed, but I don't know if I've been to that show or not. But I know, like,
highly doubt you were at that show. There was, like, my mom and, like, someone else at that show.
People? Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so... So one day when we're moving the ring from third floor to second floor, we put it back together, and Jay starts running the ropes. And mind you, I'm not a student at the place. I'm at this point, I'm just a guy. Like, you know, Mike's my friend, and I just came literally just to bullshit. When he runs the ropes, he goes like he was gonna fake suicide dive, all hit away, student away, and I'm the only one who stood there to attempt to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much because of that, like, he was like, all right, I'll train you for a little bit. So, you know, he just pretty much used me as a...
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. This is a crazy-ass small world up here.
I know, right? That's wild. I kind of feel like this whole area is a hotbed for wrestling fans. There's just so much... Like, not only was there... A lot of people grew up wrestling on the TV, but, like, people that grew up in this area grew up with wrestling shows in every high school or church or backyard for, like, 10 years. Like, you know, like, I can't... you can't go down the street without a wrestling show happening here. So it's kind of like everyone here should be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. Well, ever since Christine Todd Whitman took away the commission, everybody just, hey, if you could do a show, just put the money together.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You remember that when you couldn't have blood on indie shows for reasons she just felt some kind of way about, like deathmatch wrestling.
Yeah, but then like she just lifted the commission altogether. I remember in Philly they're still strict, which is weird. I think it was because of CZW where like a fan bled like on the commissioner's daughter. I mean, a wrestler bled on like the commissioner's daughter. So they install like the no bleeding. Once blood happens on the other side of the guardrail, they stop the match.
Are you kidding me? In the ECW arena?
Yep. This happened after it closed, and it happened not at the ECW arena. Well, the CZW thing happened at the ECW arena, but I remember seeing it live at a Ring of Honor show. It's, I think, the Baldies or whatever they were called.
I remember the Baldies.
They like Dumb, Just Incredible were feuding with Special K, and one of them was bleeding. And once he clotheslined the guy over the guardrail into the thing, the commissioner went nuts and shut the match down.
Oh my god! Is Pennsylvania one of those states that treat pro wrestling like it's like a real sport and they really regulate it? Is that why they have that? Or?
At that point in time, they still had a commission, so.
Oh,
so I don't know if they still do at this point in time, but I think they maybe because like you know like CCW they pretty much moved from Philadelphia to like South Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were in. I was at Cage of Death 2, and I think they were mostly a South Jersey fed. I think it's the Christy Whitman thing that sent them to Philly originally. Yeah. So I think most of them are from South Jersey anyway.
So circle.
I'm not really 100% sure. So,
circle like. So do you have any upcoming conventions coming up or anything, or is just straight up work?
We may be at Atlantic City Comic Con. We may be, we may not be. We're still that's still pending. We have a few pending ones. The only one, I mean, right now that's like officially we will be there is San Diego and the Small Press Expo in Baltimore, which I recommend anyone going to. It's a lot of fun.
Small to Baltimore.
Yeah, when you can eat crabs and stuff, and then you know buy really cool indie comics.
Oh, that's cool. When is that one?
That is usually in September. Yeah, somewhere in September, October, somewhere in the fall.
How many San Diegos have you been to?
Three or four. This may be my I don't know what you're doing if you're a professional and you're not going to every year. I mean, I'm sure there's guys that don't have to go anymore, or some guys that feel like they don't, but. I just know that every year that I go, good things may not happen right away, but they eventually happen because I was there.
Yeah. Oh, like someone will pick up your card or someone will pick up a book and then later they'll contact you and be like, hey, we like your work.
Yeah, or it's even like you go out for you know, some company and then maybe in a year he doesn't, you know, give you any work, but 2 years, 3 years, you know, he sees you're still in the game and you're doing good stuff and he hits you up, you know, so it's like, You go there and you plant a bunch of seeds and you try to see which ones kind of grow into an opportunity.
Well, that's cool. That's understandable. And, do you guys still do the Amazing Forest?
Yeah, we're going to keep doing it. We're gonna let the IDW series kind of finish and then we're gonna start a new like run of it where it's gonna be more single issues instead of. Three different stories in one issue. But instead of three stories per issue,
yeah.
It's going to be one story per issue. It was just, in terms of the artists, it just became too much to keep track of. It's just really hard. And then, like, some issues would be held back because one artist was late, and then, like, these two other artists who finished on time, you know, they don't get to see their issue come out. Like, it's just a lot more fair if it's just one artist per issue.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, that calls like, I don't know, like me personally, I'm just very paranoid. And it's like, yeah, trusting all these people is just like, oh.
It's, what do you mean? Like getting the work done or?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, like just, I don't know, I have an issue. I have like a trust issue with people getting their, yeah, pretty much. You know, I always raised with the philosophy of always rely on those to be unreliable.
That is actually the only way you can get anything done. Me and Ulysses are very big on that idea, and that's how I approach Amazing Force. Every time someone says they're going to meet a deadline, I will believe it when I see it. And I'm always prepared for the
work. Yeah, I was cleaning up on on your previous work, Gamma?
Right now it's one issue where hope. I mean, it's been so. I mean, in any time you do anything that's remotely like gets some type of attention, you get all these like moments where you think it's going to turn into something, but it hasn't. And right now, Gamma is just a single issue. It's an Adult Swim version of Pokemon, and the main character is a sex addict and an alcoholic, and he kind of ruined the world with his monster fighting, and the entire world hates him for it. And now it's kind of him on a journey of redemption, but you know, we just couldn't really get it done as a series. There's still a chance at an MA, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I read the concept. It sounds great. So I'm just trying to say, like, what's the best way for people to be able to find it?
Oh, Comixology.
Comixology.
Yeah, the comic book app.
Oh, so it's like a it's a digital thing.
Well, it originally came Dark Horse Presents, and then it came out as a single issue for Dark Horse, and then Dark Horse kind of let us have our rights back and let us see if someone else wanted to turn it into a series. And Comixology said, we self-published it on Comixology, and they liked it, and they printed some issues for New York Comic Con as their like free comic book for the handouts.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get that, I don't know how else you would get it unless there's still some comic book stories with it. But yeah, Comixology is probably the best way. And I think Ulysses' website has it too. I'm not sure where.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, because I was thinking of us.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Sorry, I was just taking a sip of an adult beverage.
Okay.
Okay. So pretty much let me get ready to wrap things up. Do you have any final words you'd like to, like anything else you'd like to plug, like people to, keep an eye out for or anything?
Well, yeah, we're going to finish Judge Dredd. We actually just finished outlining the third act, kind of going over everything. We're going to finish strong with that. There's another online company called Stella that we're going to have this comic, this series called Oort on it, O-O-R-T. It's about a little girl who gets eaten by a intergalactic space being, and it's her adventure, her story about how to escape it. What else do we have? There's a horror graphic novel series coming out. We should have an issue coming out for that over the summer. And we're always working, we're always trying to push things. There's a lot of other things I can tell you about, but who knows? They may just fall flat on their face tomorrow, so we're always working.
Yeah, that's usually how things work. You never know.
Yeah.
All right, cool, Mr. Eric Freitas. One more time, if you want to plug your Instagram? So.
Sure. It's ERR Freitas, FREITAS. And follow me. I'm always posting cool pictures. I'm always going to cool places, so check it out.
So how many people always butcher your name? I think I did it like 3 or 4 times already.
I'm sorry?
How many people butcher your name? I think I did it like 3 or 4 times already.
Oh, everyone. But I always tell people it's like greatest, but with an F. So it's Eric, instead of saying Freitas. Greatest, it's Freitas.
All right, yeah. There you go. I just learned, right? That's a great way to say it.
There you go.
Yeah, because people can't spell my name unless you put San in front of it.
That's funny. I can see that.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. All right, guys. This is another episode of the Sabbening Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Diego Santos. Bitches leave.